Before coming here to St. Edward, I was on the coast in Tillamook, where there was not many opportunities to shop for Christmas, and I lost no opportunity to go somewhere else on the weekends, you know. So I was usually in Hillsborough someplace, but I got a lot of catalogs because there was only Fred Meyer. That's basically the only place there was there. So I did a lot of catalog shopping. This is before, this sounds like the Dark Ages, but before internet shopping, which apparently wasn't that long ago, you know. And so thank God for the internet, because I hate shopping. Any of you guys like shopping? Because I sure don't. And I got this cat when I got here. I was still getting all these catalogs. Some of these people still send me catalogs. I haven't used them in years, and I still get these catalogs. You'd think they'd get a clue. So I get these catalogs. I give most of them to other people now. Quite a while ago, I got a catalog. It's like 8 or 9 years ago, but I haven't forgotten this. Every year I think of this catalog. I've mentioned it before. The title of this catalog was called Shop for Joy. Shop for Joy. I've never seen anything that was mistitled more than that. To me, shopping and joy don't go together at all. And it was one of these catalogs full of gadgets that nobody really needs, you know. The company that made that went out of business the next year. And so I guess not enough people shop for joy. But the ironic thing was, is that was the year that I did go shopping. We bought that little joy that's out by the front of it. So actually, I did go shopping for joy. Hey, that's as good as it gets tonight, guys. It's late. But it just strikes me over the years that people are looking for something at this time of year. You know, it's because Christmas is a secular holiday in the United States, it is permissible and even understandable that people have Christmas without Christ. I mean, let's face it, the word Christmas has a secular meaning to it, in the sense that it's an excuse for a party, if you will. I think the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas are some of the joyless weeks of the year, as far as I'm concerned, because it's so busy. There's either so much to do, or a lot of people have a lot of grief issues because somebody died, and it can be rather difficult. But Christmas Day itself is often very happy for people. Sometimes we have family issues when people get together, but basically, there are several different ways to celebrate the day. And one of the ways is we exchange gifts. Our Lord was born in poverty, but somehow we've developed this tradition of offering things to each other. And I think that if we're not careful, we can find that these things that we look for do not in the end satisfy sufficiently. 2 years ago, I was in Amsterdam, and I remember we got out of this hotel, and there was this huge line across the street, and it was a line of people. I didn't know what the heck this was. They were going around the block. I had jet lag. You know, I came out, and all these people were in line to get the iPhone 6 in Amsterdam. I ordered mine online, so... And, you know, that's 2 years ago. That's yesterday's news. But that was the big thing for Christmas that year. I don't know what the big thing is this year. But whatever it is, it's not going to last. We are looking for happiness in a place where we can't ultimately find it. But what we find are things that give us temporary pleasure. My iPhone is a great thing. I was one of the first people to adopt the pocket computer when they first came out. I've always been kind of a geeky guy at heart, but I think they've started with a Palm Pilot, and then I moved to a pocket PC with a stylus, and there was one other priest using it, and he said, "Oh, you got to get one of these things. They're great for ministry," and I did. And, you know, they're really great, and moved on to the iPhone, or you have an Android, or maybe you don't bother with this kind of stuff, but there's a lot of good things you can do with it, but joy and happiness are not really things you can find on those kind of gizmos. It doesn't. It may promise that in the ads, but it really can't deliver. I don't think anything on earth can really deliver the permanent happiness that we're all looking for. Christmas really, the secular Christmas does purport to offer that to us, doesn't it? I mean, I think it's at least one stage of life, almost everybody wants to have the perfect house or the perfect dinner or the perfect gift, you know, which doesn't exist either. But those things don't last. When I was young, we had two Christmases. That's true for a lot of people, isn't it? Christmas Eve, we'd open one set of presents, and then we'd go to the relatives and have the other Christmas. That was the one that all the grandmas came to. You know, the one on Christmas Eve is the one that Santa came to. He brought the cool stuff, and then Mom and Dad bought me socks and underwear. You know, but go figure. I don't know how that worked, but I like Santa a lot better than Mom and Dad, I'll tell you that. But but on the Christmas Eve one, you know, of course, when you're a kid, what you really want is all those presents. And I didn't really care for the other part. I had a lot of my great grandparents actually that were living then were, one was from France and the other one was from Poland, and then I had a grandfather from Czechoslovakia. So we had a lot of ethnic foods, some of which I didn't care for too much. I didn't like stuffed cabbage, and I liked the inside of the stuffed cabbage, and I'd pick the cabbage off, for which I got nagged every year, but I wouldn't. You could put me on the rack, and I wouldn't eat that. Now I love it. I just love it now. They didn't live long enough to hear that. But we had all these great cookies, you know, that Grandma made, all these Polish things. I don't know. I know what it was called, a cruller. You know, what a cruller is? And then what are those nut rolls? What are those called? There's an ethnic word for a Polish nut roll. Is there any Polak here that knows this? I'd give my wisdom teeth, all four of which I have, which is why I'm so smart, for one of those nut rolls. But you know, the presents I've forgotten all about. And it's kind of funny, but looking back at it, what I really value of those memories are the people that are in that picture. And I think the tree that we have at Christmas, even if you don't have a tree in your house, it's a reminder of Christmas past, present, and future, because Christmas is all about Christ. Christ is our key to eternal life. Faith in him is what gives us heaven. This is what we're all looking for. We're eternal beings in a temporal world. We have an eternal heart within us. We're chips off the old block. You know, God made us in his own image and likeness, and nothing on earth is going to satisfy us. Nothing. There isn't anything that we can have that lasts permanently on earth. Nothing. And this is something we have to learn. You know, I feel sorry for people that have that secular Christmas because, you know, if that's all it is, the presents are open and you've had your meal and is that all there is? You know, and then the tree's out in the garbage the next week, that weekend. I mean, maybe it has to be if it's too dry, but there's more to it than that. Oftentimes, Christ isn't invited to the meal, which is kind of funny because it's really all about him. And what we find in the scripture here today, Jesus, who has everything, he created everything. Through him, all things were made, said St. Paul. And yet, he chooses to come in absolute, abject poverty, which tells us something. It says that we will find him where we're not looking for him. And oftentimes, he's the one package that doesn't get opened under the tree, because we're not looking in the right place. He's not. We can shop all we want at Target or wherever, or Nordstrom or whatever. We bought stuff this year, but Christ really isn't there. I mean, he is, but he isn't, because he's waiting for us in every human heart and in our families. They may be dysfunctional, but Christ wants to invite us into his family, and it's a permanent one. He wants to be at every table, and and you have an invitation to his table, and he wants you to be there. And it's that meal, that sacred meal that Thanksgiving and Christmas that means so much to us. When I worked in the airline industry for 10 years, I can tell you I knew what it was like for people that couldn't get home for Christmas. Sometimes we'd have a weather incident, and I'd be in there for like 12, 14 hours. I usually offered to work the Christmas Day shift, and then we'd get together as a family in the late afternoon, so it worked out. Families could be home and that kind of thing. And sometimes we'd get stuck and we'd all have to come in because in the service industries, we worked when they didn't. when people don't, but just like now, actually. But to not be able to get home for the holidays, that's hard. Sometimes people didn't get their presents, didn't get there, and they did, and that was hard too. But we're all trying to get home, I think, and Christ wants to invite us home. We're not home yet. This isn't home. This is a temporary condition, life. We are here to enjoy it and also to make a choice of faith for Christ. A lot of people are looking for Christ, or looking for happiness, I should say, or joy in the wrong place. It won't be found in that catalog or online or in a store. Try as we might, it isn't there. Sometimes we have a hard time finding it in our families too, but there's an ideal family where there is no more sadness, and that's what Christmas is all about. That's why we're here tonight, to find the real happiness, the real Christ, the real reason that Christmas is here. It's the scripture we heard tonight, and it's a family that we're all invited into in the faith that we have in Christ.